Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side, through your smart speaker.
Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Just after 11 on ESPN 1000, Sunday morning, beautiful sunny Sunday morning here in Chicago in the First Midwest Bank studio. Our guy, Jesse Rogers, he's our very own covering baseball in Chicago for ESPN National and hanging out with us here at ESPN 1000. Xander and Hanley, hey, Jesse, it's been so boring this weekend. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. That's what
you know
I said
what?
At the top
of
the show.
I was this close to going to New York this weekend. I'm actually going to go in June when the Cubs play the Yankees. But the Sox-Yankees seem a little bit more interesting these days.
Yeah, they
kinda,
do, don't they?
I kind of wish I would have gone. But, you know, I heard the first 40 minutes of your show, and I will say you guys covered it great. And you were wondering if Donaldson's in the lineup today.
He is in the lineup in
game one. Tim Anderson's in the lineup. So this is going to be much watch TV. I think Donaldson's batting fifth. It's a doubleheader, so I don't think Johnny Cueto wants to get thrown out in the first inning or second inning, right?
We can't afford that.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting how this plays out. But I'm sure you guys want to know what the league is thinking right now.
Yes.
They are definitely looking into this, obviously. Mm-hmm. And as of this morning, no decision has been made. I think, Xander, you hit the nail on the head early in the first hour there when you said, look, there's a lot of ways he could have got under his skin. He could have called him Bob or Joe or Steve, but he chose something that
could have a racial connotation, depending on how you receive it. Sure.
Right. And I think intent is going to matter. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get suspended for 100 games or anything. You know, it's going to be whatever punishment is, there's going to be something, in my opinion. Now, I do think, knowing baseball, they're going to try to, you know, turn this around and make it a positive, like get these two together and try to understand why you don't say something like that. You know, call him a different name that just would, you know, let's say in that Sports Illustrated article, Tim Anderson said, everybody knows me. I'm the most well-known player in the league. And then to get under skin, he did call him like Steve or something to pretend like, well, I don't even know you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's how you rib a guy. You don't rib a guy by going there.
See, and that's
even
my point, Jesse.
Done that a little bit in the past, which he claims he did.
Right. Yeah. And that's my point. If he's claiming that he, now, he hasn't directly said that, but you can assume that he's kind of claiming like, well, it wasn't a big deal before or whatever. He's riding the line. He should be smart enough to know that.
Yes, I agree. Especially, again, even if he's called him this in the past, they just had a dust up last week. I mean, it's not like they're in the best of friends mode at this moment, right, with this guy. So.
Right.
I think going there is just a huge mistake. And again, I just think the league is going to look at intent. The intent was to get under his skin, and he used, well, let's just call it a racially motivated way to do it, I guess is the best way to put it. So I think there's going to be some punishment. I do know as of this morning, they're still talking to both sides, you know, and they're probably talking internally. What is the punishment? How do we handle this? How can we turn this into not a positive, but how can we turn this into a learning experience as well as a punishment? That just doesn't come in 24 hours necessarily. So maybe by tomorrow, who knows? We'll see what happens, but they got to get past today first.
You know, Donaldson's just a dumb guy, as Lou Henson would say. No, he's just a dumb guy because he did say that he thought he was diffusing the situation from last week by saying, what's up, Jackie? Yeah. I mean, that's how his mind works or doesn't work. I mean,
and that could be a problem right there.
I hate going to this place because what I'm about to say is because it seems like we always, as reporters, have to mention this when it comes to Donaldson. He grew up in a very difficult environment. His father was in jail most of his life. He overcame all sorts of things. It doesn't excuse anything.
No.
But I think it does add up to why he's a different cat, and mm-hmm. maybe he gets under people's skin. There's just all this backstory with Donaldson, but that doesn't excuse anything. The point is he was wrong. His intent was to get under his skin, and he used a racially motivated or whatever racially charged name to do it, and that's just wrong. So he's going to face some punishment. But hopefully it can be a learning experience as well.
Right. And another thing, Jess, real quick, is it's not like he's not known to do this. Not that specifically, but just to be an instigator.
Gnat. Yeah.
He is that guy. And it's not only with the White Sox, right?
Yeah. No, he is. And that's what I'm saying. That's part of his DNA. And a lot of times it maybe comes in handy for him as a player and for his team, but he went a little too far. He went a little too far. And, you know, we don't know the exact history. You played the audio. Was Tim asked, has he called you this before? Have you guys joked about it before? Because that's what Donaldson claims.
Well, he actually, you know what, actually in the audio, Tim said that he had done it a few times yesterday. Like he was pursuing him.
Yeah.
And when
you
have somebody that keeps pursuing somebody with that, like if you said he said it to him in the past, that's like telling somebody the same joke over and over and over. When is when?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And he's going to face some consequences. I think league just doesn't know exactly what they are.
So do you find it interesting that he's in the lineup for the first game? As Brian said, look, he is a hell of a player, and it's a good pickup for the Yankees so far. So does that surprise you, or do you think maybe they should not have played him in game one just to try to defuse the situation? Not that that really matters in the context of trying to win a game.
How do his teammates feel about it?
And that's a great point, too, yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me only a little bit, only a little bit. First of all, I did hear you say maybe the team would punish. The team. This is why, if the team started coming down on him in some major way, the union would get involved. This is why they let the league handle these things. Now, yes, Boone could sit him in game one, but maybe the matchup's better for him. I don't know what Boone's strategy is. Now, he could sit him both games, but that's certainly is making a huge statement before the league is done with his event. Usually teams just leave it to the league. You know, it's just, they just go about their business until the league steps in. It's like what the Dodgers have basically said about Trevor Bauer. We're letting the league handle this stuff. So but it does surprise me a little bit, because you're right. It could blow up and all of a sudden we have 8 hours of crazy, you know, craziness in the Bronx today. But you know, Aaron Boone's job is to win a game, and I get all that, and the league's job is to respond whenever they respond. So you know, I'm only slightly surprised, I guess.
And I said, you know, love him or hate him or, you know, he's disgusting, whatever. The fact is that MLB.com put the Yankees on the 10 best offseason moves by acquiring Josh Donaldson, and the only mention of the White Sox is number 7, the Giants signing Carlos Rodon to a 2-year deal. White Sox didn't make a needle moving move in the offseason. And here they sit a game under. It seems like they've been in this situation for at least a month now where they were 3 back, now they're 4.5 back. They're closer to third than they are to first now. They're only a half game in front of Cleveland. But is this team, you know, I was saying to Mark Zander that, you know, on Twitter, Sox fans are now complaining about even watching this team, that they're going through the motions, there's no energy, there's no fun, and therefore the fans aren't enjoying watching a team that they had great hopes for going into the season.
Well, if that's true, boy, things change fast, because this was a fun and entertaining team just a year ago. And I know if people go back to last year's All-Star break, it's been 500 since then. So we're seeing an extended period of time where they're playing basically 500 baseball. And then a big flame out in the playoffs. You know, I've been trying to look at the glass being half full. They peaked in the first half last year, so maybe this year they'll peak in the second half. At this rate, it seems like they're going to have to peak in the second half.
Well, that's the only way they'll make something happen, yeah.
But obviously the Twins seem to have some staying power. I don't think Cleveland's going away. They have probably a little bit better team than I thought. They haven't peaked. Now, if I'm Frank Menachino, I'm probably a little bit worried about my gig, just thinking about how these things go. Who's the first to go? It's not going to be the manager. We know that.
Right.
They're not
even be the last to go.
Yeah, right. They're not hitting with men in scoring position, as you guys noted. They're not getting on base via walks.
So that's a major, major thing. And them having a little more patience at the plate has helped just a little bit since, what was it? I can't remember which game it was where Tim took
City.
A walk.
Kansas City, out of the box. When they got that was a good game. They took some walks. But I've been critical of Rick Hahn and Jerry. You know, that, like you said, Brian, they didn't make a needle moving move. And so it's a collective failure right now at 19-20. But you could, like I said, if you want to say, look, they're not playing anywhere close to their peak and they're just 19-20, you could say it that way. Or you could say they've been 500 since last year's All-Star break. What's going to change? You know, there's different ways of looking at it. They struggle against right-handed pitching because they don't have the best left-handers in the batter's box. I've been on that for 3 years. I do think the pitching staff is better than I thought and deeper than I thought, and that we haven't even seen one pitch from Lance Lynn yet. So I think, you know, Johnny Cueto today against the Yankees, he could make a real believer out of all of us, right, if he can shut down that lineup. So I'm as you would expect with a 500 team, Brian, I'm torn. I'm kind of like,
Well,
I don't know what to expect, you know.
3 weeks ago, I was saying, you know, being trying to be the optimistic guy too, that they should feel fortunate they were in second, only three games back, given that the defense was shoddy and the offense hasn't shown up, and they were getting great starting pitching and still really are, and the bullpen was trying to do its best. But now we're a quarter of the way into the season, and they're 2.5 games out of the wild card right now, and that's an expanded playoff field.
Sure.
I hope the second half season looks a lot better, and I hope health has a lot to do with that. But it just seems like there are some holes that need to be filled here, because this team on paper, on the field, just doesn't look good enough to make noise in the playoffs if they do get there.
Yeah, they're 5-10 against plus 500 teams. We saw that last year. They're under 500 within the division. They're minus 29 run differential. Like, there's not one thing to jump on and say, oh, wait a minute. Well, that's going to turn around for sure. And I mean, I think they'll hit better, right? Especially when Eloy comes back, but it can't just be on one guy.
Right.
You know, that's a collective thing for sure. So,
and he wasn't hitting all that well when he went out.
The bottom of the lineup isn't that great, but the bottom of many lineups these days isn't that great. So something has to change. You are right, Brian. Something has to change. Otherwise, it's a really underachieving
and we're
season
see,
in a mediocre division.
And we're going to see Boston this week, and they're starting to hit. We knew that would happen at some point.
Yeah, they're playing better. They're playing a little bit better, at least. So, I mean, it's got to start to move in the right direction, you know, come June and heading into trade season and all that. But there is plenty of time left. We're game 40. Like I said, if you want to look at it as they peaked in the first half last year, let's hope they peak in the second half this year. Well, you've got that to look forward to. But there's no sign. There's no sign that they are about to go on some run to take over first place. And sometimes you get a sign. You don't see it right now.
Not yet. But as I pointed out yesterday in the box score, it was Moncada who came in to pinch hit, didn't have a hit. Engel didn't have a hit. Everybody else had a hit. And it was Keiko that gave up the unfortunate grand slam. And that was the difference. So what do you think is going to happen with Dallas?
Keiko, well, I mean, his days are probably numbered, but they're just not ready to make any move just yet. Let's see Cueto tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see when Lynn comes back. I mean, at some point, he's either going to be pushed to the bullpen or moved out. He did have that one good start. I mean, it was fantastic against the Yankees last week. And asking, you know, looking at even Cortez wasn't as good second time. You know, back-to-back starts for both those guys against the same team, they both didn't look as good, right?
Right.
So I don't know what you make of that. The Yankees are one of the best teams in the league, but I think he's got problems. I mean, he's if Cueto looks good again today and Lynn's back soon, then Keiko's spot is certainly in jeopardy. There's no doubt about it. But healthy arms are always needed. There's always an injury around the corner, so let's just see it play out a little bit. But yeah, I wouldn't be picking up Keuchel as a starter in my fantasy league anytime soon with all this other stuff going on. If Cueto continues to look good, it's only been one start.
It is going to be interesting in New York today. First game, 2:05, first pitch, Tyler Aki will bring you the pregame at 1:30, and then second game is 6:10 here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers, thanks for joining us and giving us the inside of what may or may not happen with MLB probably sometime this week, if there's anything that happens.
Yeah, maybe as soon as tomorrow, but it's obvious if he's in the lineup today, they're not going to announce something mid-game or anything. Could be tonight, but I don't know. It could be tonight, it could be tomorrow.
Could it be between the games? Could that happen?
I highly doubt it. I don't think they'd want to make that kind of news between games.
Okay.
It could leak out tonight. My guess would be tomorrow, or maybe it takes a few days. I was thinking about this as I talked to my league sources. It's a little bit of uncharted territory. It's like, right, how do we figure this one out? What's the right punishment? So it could take a little. It's not as cut and dry as, you know, your normal, you know, situation. So let's see what they say and how they come down on it. But I mean, they usually don't wait forever. You know, it's usually sooner rather than later. But this one might take 24 hours.
And I'll leave you with this, Jesse. The Cubs will not win four games straight again this season.
Well, not this weekend.
You're going to do that again, Brian?
Sure.
You're going to do that again?
Because then they'll go ahead and do it just to shame me. So
they may not do it at home the way it's going at home. I mean, it's not the friendly confines these days.
No, this place is different. Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesse. Thanks
for
jumping on here.
See
you. This is ESPN 1000.
I did enjoy the Fergie Jenkins thing. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, that was. That was great. Yeah. That was a nice feel-good to see Fergie back in town and to relive that. They had a nice highlight reel.
A nine-year-old, I would get on my bike and ride to the Jewels every week. They would have a different picture of the Jewels of 1969 Cub players that we all loved, even though they didn't win anything. And Fergie was a huge part of that, and it was great to see. And, man, does he look good.
He does.
But it was nice, and I know everyone says, you know, why do you keep building statues and electing guys to the Hall of Fame for a team that didn't win anything? But
man, celebrate the best of what you got.
I'm telling you, I mean, I loved that team back in the day. I loved those guys. So yeah, it's good to see Fergie Jenkins and what it meant to him, too.
312-332-3776. We've got the phones loaded up. We're back to those after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander, ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian, did you ever see the Get Back documentary?
No. I've seen clips of it.
Wait, what? You haven't? Yeah. Do you not have access? Do we need to send you a code? Do we need to somebody over to help you with this?
My list of things I need to catch up on. I told you, you added Letterkenny to it. I mean,
yeah, I guess I did. I'm not doing you any favors.
Every week there's five more things that get added to the must-see list.
You have to do the Get Back. I tell you something, I have to watch it a second time. It's one of those things that there's so much going on that you watch it the first time, and it's like, okay, the second time, the second pass, you will get more out of it. So now I have to start it again.
I didn't want it to end. I saved the last episode for like two weeks because I didn't want to watch it.
But the first one was tough to get through. I had three attempts to watch part one. I finally got through it, and then it caught a gear. Now I have to go back and do all of it again.
And there's like no narrator. It's just the cameras in the studio with them, right?
And it's chaos. They are like kittens.
Yeah.
You know, you ever hear the whole, you know, wrangling kittens and trying to get them all to behave? They're nuts. They're in their 20s, they're nuts. The Beatles.
They're sitting in the studio. Yeah. The girlfriends are there. The wife, I mean.
All kinds of distractions. They all have ADD. It's absolutely crazy. 312-332-3776. The phones are loaded. We'll get to Dave and Mike here in a bit. Here's Zach. He wants to jump in St. Charles. Hey, Zach, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello? Zach is gone. Okay, never mind, Zach. Why don't we get to Mike here? He's been holding a while. From Arlington Heights, say, Mike, you're in on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Hey, Brian. I haven't talked to you since the Blackhawks fiasco.
Which one? Narrow that fiasco down
for me. There have been a few.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, though, what Donaldson did is totally unacceptable. But one thing I Mr. Anderson, his track record, I think he got suspended for one game for saying something to the pitcher for the Twins. I think his last name was Keller. But in today's society, we don't need this stuff.
No, absolutely not.
That's all I got to say. And you guys, great show.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Especially for a league that celebrates, rightfully so, Jackie Robinson Day, and everyone wears his number and retired his number.
There's no room for any of it. And something that Jesse brought up, he said this is kind of new territory. Well, thankfully it is. Thankfully, this isn't something that happens in an alarming clip. I mean, you know, this is something that hasn't happened, and the league has to figure out what to do, and they're going to look at intent. And that, I think, is key right there. We've got Dave in Glenview. Let's get to Dave here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon. Okay. How many games did it take the Sox in 2005 to win the real World Series, the final series?
It took...
If it takes that long, I'll help you. Four.
Yeah, because they had great starting pitching.
Okay. Now, why, since 2005, haven't the Sox figured out what their secret was that year? I saw it in Sports Illustrated. I'm a sports trainer, an international sports trainer. I haven't seen the Sox for a couple of years now.
All right, so what's the key, Dave?
Pardon?
What's the key?
The key is training.
Oh. We're going to put Dave on hold. I don't know what happened to his phone. I got to hear
what the key is. If he's got the answer, I need to hear it.
We've got to get him to back in the phone. There's something weird that just happened there. Let's get to, we'll come back to Dave. If, Dave, if you're still there, we'll come back to you. Dan in Barrington wants to jump on. Hey, Dan, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Brian, I'm much more on your and Jesse's line of thinking. Mark, I know you got to try to be positive, but all the hits yesterday, they still lost.
No, they did, right.
Hang on. The last 116 games, they have a losing record. That's not a small sample size. This team cannot beat good teams. That's it. And once again, and I know you twisted my words when I called last week and you said, oh, this guy's totally given up on Eli. No, I haven't. But right now, he's not good. So he's not Mike Trout right now. He's hitting exactly what Brian said.
And he's not playing right now either.
Yeah, I know he's not playing. I know exactly where he is. He's where he always is. He's hurt. But your optimism, and I don't know if it's just blind optimism, but it's what is it rooted in? What is it that has you so excited and guaranteeing that we're going to win this division? Because it's not going to happen.
Because it's May.
So I'm just wondering, what is it?
Because it's May.
Oh, God.
Okay. We can...
No, hang on, because it's May. What happened the last 80 games last year?
So you're just saying what happened last year will automatically happen this year? Is that what we're saying?
No, but it's a certain continuation. If in 116 games you've proven you cannot beat any mediocre or better right-handed pitching, and you can't beat winning teams. Okay, so I'm just saying, you're saying, well, it's only May.
Yeah.
Okay, but what has this team ever done once it gets into the playoffs and no one cares about winning a horrible division? That's what we keep
I'm
going
not making,
back to.
I'm personally not making that decision
saying,
today.
What makes you think this is supposed to be World Series or nothing? That's what our general manager said. You can't hold them to a less standard. So I'm just asking, what is it that makes you think that this is going to happen? Why do you think Eloy's going to stay healthy when he comes back? What makes you think Luis Robert?
Well, you're putting words in my mouth. I never said that.
No. I'm just saying all this stuff keeps happening. Lance Lynn isn't getting any younger. Dallas Keuchel is awful. I'm just saying.
Weren't you the one that complained about Kopech?
Speak. Yeah.
Yeah, that was you. That was you. What do you have to say about Kopech?
Oh, here's what I have to say. What day do they take the training wheels off? And hey, he's got an innings limit. He is not going to be pitching in the playoffs, my man. If they make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. He's
okay.
Not going to be.
You're making a lot of determinations for May. That's fine. You can do that. I'm not going to do that.
All I'm saying is, it's not fun to be a fanboy, dude. You gotta look at the team. You gotta pay attention. Just coming on every week, and I've loved Brian since he went back to the old station. But you coming on and fanboying every week and not living in reality.
I'm done with you, Dan. I'm done with you. That's enough of you.
You just got to be a cynic. Like, I was born a cynic, Mark.
That's enough of you, Dan. You know what? A fanboy, whatever, pal. You do you. I'll do me. And, you know, you could sit there and spin on all of your negative, you know, whatever. You want to make a call on what's going on in May. You want to make a final determination in May. That's your prerogative. I can care less. 312-332-3776.
I love baseball because it fires you up, good or bad. You know, if you love the game and you love your team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
why am I an object of your obsession? Why am I an object? You need to look at things a little closer. G Real, it's in the South Suburbs. Hey, G, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How you doing this morning?
Good.
Listen, man, I thought I was listening to ESPN 1000, and apparently we broke into the View here for a section of the show here, man.
He's a little fired up. I don't know what his issue is, but, you know, what else?
So let me – my take on what happened yesterday. I think most of it has to do with frustration. We all know Donaldson's, an a-hole. He's an antagonizer. He keeps
– Yep.
He's done it for years. I think it kind of bowled over yesterday. I think we're getting a little too sensitive, and I hate the fact that everything has to be, right away. We want to play the race car, racially motivated. That's a serious issue in this country, and I don't think that was the case yesterday.
Well, and I appreciate that, G. Thanks for the call. But you know, as I said earlier, and this is my belief, it was said to Tim, and Tim is the one that gets to make that call.
And ultimately, Mark, baseball is a workplace, right? If you said that in an office, right?
Great point. Yes.
HR wouldn't be intent. It wouldn't be allowed, right?
HR would be there in 5 seconds. You would be out the building in 10.
You have to be, as you said, you could have said 100 different things that didn't go near the third rail and make it a racist comment.
Yep.
You could have gotten the same reaction by however you wanted to do it. But you're not, I mean, you have to be smarter than saying something that was taken as an offense, whether you wanted to, intended that or not. It was, I hate to say it, it's black and white. You don't say something to a black ball player about, hey, Jackie, what's up? Whatever.
And without knowing that, you are probably wading in unsafe waters.
He said he's waded in those waters before and got no reaction, or he actually said that they shared a laugh about it before, after the article came out in 2019, when Tim said on the modern day Jackie Robinson. So if that's true, and they did share a laugh, then Josh Donaldson thought he was in the clear. And like you said, he was stupid enough to think he was defusing the situation from last weekend.
Right,
we share this laugh again. I'll try the dumb joke again. And see what, and he got a way different reaction.
And as Jesse said, the context, context matters. And after what happened last week at third base, who knows. Who knows? But it's something that we weren't in the moment. We're not privy to. And the only way we found out about it, and I really believe that this is a point to notice, is that Grandal had something to say. Grandal took exception, was protecting his player, had something to say. If that didn't happen at home plate, would we have found out about this? We can't say. 312-332-3776. We're here till noon taking your phone calls if you want to jump in. You want to jump in and talk about the North Side. We've got a Cub fan here that would be glad to talk about how they won 4 in a row and how they won't be doing it again.
I want to know the key of the 2005 season.
Yeah, he jumped off. Yeah. We lost him. But, I think maybe he had a theory if he wants to jump back in. I mean, if what's his name from Barrington wants to jump back in? Dan wants to spar some more. That's fine. It's funny. He just calls me a fanboy. I think I pointed out several problems with this team. I'm just not ready to shut them down now. I'm just not ready. Why would I be ready to do that in May? Why would anybody be ready for that?
If I'm not ready to shut them down, but I'd like my front office to maybe do something to let me know that they're watching the same thing I'm watching.
And
right?
and that may not come until closer to the trade deadline. But yes,
I don't know if you have that luxury.
I totally agree. Well, we may not. That may have to happen sooner than later. And all I can do is hope. 312-332-3776. Back on ESPN with Xander and Hanley in just a bit.
Speak.
It's okay if you missed your favorite show. Podcasts are ready. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here.
This is Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, your home for the Chicago White Sox. Doubleheader today in the Bronx. First pitch at 2:05. Tyler Aki will bring you the pregame show here on ESPN 1000 at 1:30. We've got the phone stacked. It's Hanley and Xander for a little while longer, up until noon. Lots of problems on the South Side. What do you think needs to happen? I think they need to learn how to knock people in on base. If they can get on base, why can't they knock them in? I think it's a mental thing.
Yeah, it would help.
312-332-3776. I mean, seriously, they're getting on base. Let's take the next step and knock them in. Anthony and McHenry on ESPN 1000. Hey, Anthony.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Real quick, I've been a fan for 58 years. Used to watch the games with my grandpa from our second-story home, and when they hit a home run, we go down on the porch and I'd see the fireworks. My grandpa would come in and I'd have a tiny little shot of a text that Brandy washed it down with a PBR.
Were you there in Bridgeport then?
No, it was Taylor Street, Taylor and Oakley. And, But anyway, and I'm not here to argue with you folks. I just don't like that trade. I never liked that Kimbrel trade. And is it just a coincidence since they made that trade around, All-Star break last year? The team has not been the same. They brought in, they had two closers, which to me looks like two roosters in the hen house.
Okay, real quick, let's go back. You said the Kimbrel. Here, hold on, Anthony. You said the Kimbrel trade. You're saying for Madrigal.
Right, and then they lost Madrigal, and then they lost Cody Hoyer, okay? And I just like Madrigal. I mean, he may not be doing the greatest.
Brian wants to give him to you. Brian will deliver him to your door.
Yeah, you don't have to give us anything in return. Just, you know, I think, we didn't. He's not as advertised. He's Nicky Three Strikes.
And neither was Kimbrel, thank you.
No. Well, remember, and Mark, they said, don't worry, it will work seamlessly, even though we've seen it before. A guy who's been a closer and has that mentality. They all said the right things, right?
Yeah. Essentially, the trade was Madrigal for Pollock, and he had a couple doubles yesterday. Is he playing up to expectations? No, not yet. But, yes, I'm a fanboy because I have hope.
I just wanted to say, if you look at all the machinations, and I love Rick Hahn, but now you look at it, you got A.J. Pollock, okay, but then at the end, you lost Madrigal and you lost Hoyer. And if at the end of everything, that's what you wound up with, I don't think A.J. Pollock is a positive. I think that's a negative after all that. And then look at the way the team has played. I think Madrigal looked up to Tim Anderson. I think he knew his spot on the team. And I think, you know, it was like an old fight. It was magic. Everybody worked together. It was a solid team, and I think that's what
worked. Madrigal was a lot of fun to watch on the south side. I don't know what's happened to him. And that could have happened to him on the south side, too, and we'll never know.
I don't know. I just, he was a tough ball player. You know, it was a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
You know, to give up on him that soon, I don't know. Maybe the other team said, hey, wait a minute, if the team is going to drop a first-round draft choice that quick, what about me? What would they do about me?
Thanks for the call, Anthony. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Hey, you know what, Brian? Look, Hahn took a swing for the fences when he got Kimbrel, and if Kimbrel pitched up to his potential like he was for the Cubs. But as we noticed, when he arrived on the north side, he wasn't good right away.
No.
It took him a while. And if he was as good as he was on the north side when he got traded for us, that might have made a positive difference. Now it's all water under the bridge because Kimbrel's gone. We have Pollock. Madrigal is on the IL. He wasn't doing much for the Cubs. And I'm, again, you know, whatever, I'm not ready to say Pollock is, you know, a mistake.
No, I think the mistake was trying to get two closers who, again, said the right things, were good teammates, said it was going to work. It didn't work.
No.
Okay. I mean, it rarely does. The two roosters and then out.
Right.
I mean, and when the White Sox won the World Series, I get they went through three closers because they had to. It wasn't they were, you know, having a two-man committee trying to close games, right?
And you would think, just in layman's terms, you would think that, you know, a pitcher would be able to pitch when he's asked to pitch. You go in and you do your job, but there is a bit of a mental where am I going and what
Frank
is my
Thomas,
job? What is my, you know, what's my focus here?
Frank Thomas said when he was transitioning to being a DH, he said the biggest part was mental. Because he didn't know what to do between at bats. Do you go in the clubhouse? Do you go in the video room? I mean, he was used to being an everyday first baseman, right? And it you would think it's not that big a deal because you don't forget how to hit, and it, you know, it's less taxing and all that. But he said it was very difficult for him to make that adjustment and make that transition because your mind plays tricks with you. It's like, you know, that's not what I do. My DNA, I'm wired to be a closer. And as again, you say the right things, you want to try to make it seamless. And they tried to do it, but the results were the results, and it didn't work out.
I think we've got Dave back. Dave in Glenview wants to talk. I think he's got a cure for what ails the White Sox.
Yeah,
Dave, are you there?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
remember,
okay.
Remember 2005, no injuries the entire season, okay? Now, look at all the injuries we've had this year. Where are the trainers from 2005? Where is their prodigy from 2005?
Why do you think there's so many injuries if you're a sports therapist? Why do you think there's so many injuries or a physical therapist?
Right now, there's no stretching. In the Sports Illustrated in 2005, they showed what appeared to be like a doorway, some vertical and horizontal pipes with springs and rubber bands on them, and the White Sox, and probably some other teams too, using these as adjuncts to their training, stretching.
Yep.
And you got this new pitcher. He threw, seven innings the other day without a hit. And his first move before he pitches is to raise his arms straight up in the air and stretch his back muscles and his shoulder muscles and his arm muscles. And this guy's fantastic. I lost in that. I want to say Ohada or something like that. You know who I'm talking about?
For the White Sox?
Yes.
Giolito?
Giolito? Possibly.
Well, okay, regardless. So you're saying it's all about stretching. Dave, thank you for the phone call.
That's all it is, okay. Is having these muscles warmed up. Because if you get into this heavy lifting, like a lot of catchers do a lot of squats, real heavy weight squats, yep. Okay? This does nothing for their legs. It causes what we call trigger points and weakens the muscles, loads them up with lactic acid, and it's a nightmare for these professional athletes.
Okay. Thanks,
and
Dave.
These trainers don't have a clue.
Okay, we got to run, but thank you, Dave. Dave and Glenview there. Look, that's above my pay grade. I have no idea about all of that stuff. All I know is that we're 17 years past 2005 with all of the advancements in every different way, shape, or form. Have we really forgotten how to stretch now?
Well, you know, they just need Hawk saying stretch.
That's it. That's
stretch.
It. Yeah, that's all they need. 312-332-3776. Back for the last segment before we get out of here at noon. The phones are still stacked, so we'll get right to them. Remember, it's a doubleheader, Sox versus Yankees. Game one, first pitch, 2:05. Tyler Aki on ESPN 1000 here will bring you the pregame show at 1:30. It's Xander and Hanley. We're back in a bit here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
All right, we're out of here at noon, and we've got a bunch of phones. They are stacked up, Brian, so we're going to do the lightning round here on ESPN 1000. Going to Eric first, wants to check in from Wisconsin. Hey, Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys, love the show. First of all, the 05 team lost Frank Thomas and two closers early, and they overcame
I just let him go on. No injuries, right. Okay.
Yeah, the point is there's more roads to a World Series than leading wire-to-wire like that team did. Look at the Braves. Look at the Nationals. Look at Houston in 05, because they were worse than this year's White Sox in May of that year. My whole point is,
the Braves last
year.
If you
think Yasmani Grandal, A.J. Pollock, Andrew Vaughn, Yoan Moncada, and Eloy are going to be sitting here in September with a collective OPS in the 600s, you got to take a week or two off from just watching baseball. April Abreu is an August Abreu. But if you look at his baseball savant page, if you guys look at it, his hard hit rate is 99th percentile out of everybody in the big. 98th percentile on exit velo. The dude's got four home runs. So I'd rather be mediocre now with a proven, talented roster who has shown that they can hit, knowing that they could get a lot better, and have them be bad right now than have them be the San Diego Padres of last year.
Hey, Eric, you're a fanboy because you're not willing to give up right now.
Oh, 100%.
You are a fanboy.
I hate watching the team right now, but I'm still going to ride it through. I mean, they're not going to be good wire to wire, but they could still win the World Series.
I appreciate the phone call, Eric. And what a fanboy he is, right?
What he did, but it's hard to stomach right now.
So. Yeah, well, and that's I'm not saying that I'm having fun.
No, yeah,
I'm not having as much fun as I can. No
you
mistake
got the Pepto,
there.
The Pepto Bismol right there.
Tracy on the south side jumping in. Hey, Tracy, you're on ESPN 1000.
How you doing?
Hey.
I want to say about the White Sox, instead of pressing so hard, try hitting for the sacrifice fly instead of hitting for the home runs. And another thing they need to do, they need to bunt more to bring the runners home when the bases are loaded. I would love to see them do that, too.
Well, I don't care how they get them home. They just got to get them home. Thank you, Tracy. We appreciate
just
it.
Just lean into a pitch.
Whatever. It's all a tactic. We've got Jack here in Darien. Hey, Jack, you're on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley.
How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
I just want to respond to that Dan guy who was pretty down on the White Sox there. One, the guy's not a White Sox fan. No White Sox fan would talk like that and try to bring down other people. But I'd also say, I go to Las Vegas quite a bit, and right now, still in the American League, the White Sox have the second lowest odds behind the Yankees to go to the World Series. So obviously,
You mean the people that really kind of know what they're talking about still have a little belief? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, more than a little belief. I mean, they make their living on that, and they still believe the Sox have the second best chance.
Interesting.
The Sox have some work to do, but I believe in them. I think we have a great opportunity. I still think Tony La Russa is a really good manager. A lot of people are, you know, questioning that, but, you know, that they don't. I don't know what.
Well, that's
going to
happen during
a
whole season, right? I mean, it's a long season. It's a grind. Well,
did
Jack,
you bet it? Did you put any money on the White Sox?
I not yet. I will, but but I will just say I'm a huge Sox fan. I've been a season ticket holder since 1982, and I think I'm realistic. I think this team has all the elements. This team is good. They have to improve on a number of things.
They have to. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Jack,
and I think when Lynn gets back, I think Lynn is a leader. We kind of are a little short on leadership on the team right now. I think Lynn is a leader. I think that. We need leadership, and I think he'll help along those lines.
Thank you. So. Jack, you're a fanboy, but we appreciate it.
Hey, 1982, that's commitment.
Yeah.
Hats
thanks
off
for
to you.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got Jim. Jim is he's on the Kennedy right now. He wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. What up, Jim?
Hey guys. Hey, the stretch guy, the guy he was talking about was Johnny Cueto. You know, puts his hand over his head. But what I'm talking about is the lack of plate discipline is killing them.
Yep.
They're the highest in baseball in swing rate, highest in baseball at swing at balls out of the zone, lowest OPB, lowest walk rate. These pitchers aren't throwing them strikes. And so they've got to show some plate discipline.
They don't need to, right. Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks, Jim. So does Mendicino. Mendicino, I think. Well, whatever. Does he pay for that? I mean, is that
he will eventually.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how they're going to do that. But I mean, hopefully they got the message through that one game at KC after that loss.
Tony Tim said, took batter that, by batter.
Yep, and Tim took that walk, and hopefully they are making a change. But there's that fanboy in me. I just have hope. I'm sorry about that. We've got to wrap up a couple Twitter polls. This was a fun show. Always good to get revved up. The White Sox doubleheader. First pitch on game 1:205. Tyler Aki will bring you the pregame at 1:30. So the polls, Jake, what we got to wrap up here? What needs to happen?
So first off, as a Sox fan, what would you like to change? Ownership takes it 46.7%. And then all the above is next with 31.8%, front office with 12.5%, and roster at 9%. So ownership taking it for the Sox. And then on the Cubs side, sorry, I had to scroll. As the Cubs side, what would you like to change? All the above is taking it 40.7%. Then ownership with 30.2%, roster 25.9%, front office.
So White Sox fans, if you're truly a White Sox fan and you're losing your collective mind, things aren't great on the north side either.
No, I mean the goodwill the Ricketts built up for winning the first World Series in more than 100 years.
Is it gone? Is it all gone?
It gone.
He gone. Yeah. And so are we. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. Thanks for listening. Jake, thanks for hanging out with us. We're back next weekend. Actually, I've got the weekend off. Brian, you're going to be hanging out with somebody, and you'll have some fun.
Happy holidays, Mr. Xander.
Yeah, you as well. Tyler Aki will bring you the pregame, as I mentioned, 1:30, first pitch, 2:05, game 1 of 2 on ESPN 1000. And we'll see you next time.